Well, the message has already been given this morning. I guess I can go ahead and leave, huh? Gosh, it's great to see all of you. And it's a very strange April day, isn't it? Found myself going, really, April? How's that possible? Well, I heard the other day that as Adam and Eve's children got older, they began to question why it was that they weren't living in the Garden of Eden anymore. And finally, Adam just had to get real. And he said, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." Always blame it on the woman anyway, right? Especially if it's real food. So, we're going to talk about synergy. Synergy, that energy, that interaction, the cooperation that gives rise to create something that is greater than each piece. So we've got synergy, and we have this piece, and we come together, and it's much larger than we expected it to be in its parts. And that's what is happening here right now. This church is going through a period of time that you all get to collectively bring your energy into a piece of synergy that makes it greater and more. You have the opportunity to create here that new minister. You have had a minister that is awesome. I mean, Jill is an awesome person. She's an awesome minister. She's going to be hard to replace. And that process that you go through is going to be an opportunity to take all the little pieces and put them together and be more. It's going to be a time that you're going to have to bring the rubber to the road. You're going to get to go out and practice what Reverend Jill has taught. You're going to get to hold in prayer all that she taught, doing the positive prayers. So I just was so touched by this. It's synergy that this is the commitment that you make to each other. It's transformative, and your prayer is simple. I see all qualities of God active in you and in this situation, and so it is. And I just invite you to remember that over and over and over again, because you're going to go through some times that maybe somebody's not going to agree with someone else. And you know what? That's one of the good times, because you know what happens when there's some spark and you get to talk about it and get to come to a greater picture, a greater realization of what you want. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful what you can create together. So synergy is an interaction, a cooperation, that's important. It's a cooperation that gives rise to the whole and makes it greater than the parts. Are you willing? Can you see that the rubber meets the road here, and it is your opportunity to honor Reverend Jill by carrying the message into this process, to carry the message into this new opportunity that you have to travel on a road, opening your heart even greater, learning even more as you go through the process of selecting a new minister. It's a wild ride time. It's a wild ride time, but it is so fun and interesting if you allow yourself to ride it. You know, just go with it. And don't become impatient. Don't become impatient. Don't think you have to have somebody by this date. Don't begin to experience scarcity and say, oh, we've got to take this one because we haven't had anybody else. Don't, just relax, breathe, and pray. And just keep praying. The thing that I know about you, because I have been around here a bit, I am good friends with Jill, is that you are a spiritually mature community. And this is good news. You're spiritually mature. And what that means is that you actively honor all beings, and you recognize the interconnection, your diversity, and your uniqueness. You recognize that you're all created in the image and likeness of God, and that you are sacred in your own right. So I want you to remember that. All of this is true. And as you come together, if there's somebody that kind of wears on you a little bit, just look at them as a fingernail file. Because you've got to have that fingernail file, right, when you have a hangnail? And you want that fingernail file to kind of smooth it over. And be grateful for that person that's rubbing up and down on you. Woo! Once you set your heart to it, though, it's not so hard. Not so hard at all. So a spiritually mature person has shifted from a belief in something to a trust. So that's going to be important for you to remember, is that you not only believe who you are and what you are, but you trust it. And you act from that place. You come from that place where you fully know who you are as spiritual beings, open and receptive to receive your new leader, your new spiritual leader that's going to just bring a new light, going to elevate you, going to lift you higher than you even thought possible. That's what's happening, folks. That's what's happening. So how do you increase your spiritual maturity? I mean, maybe some of you feel like, well, yeah, you can say that I'm spiritually mature, but I feel like I'm still back in kindergarten. So the way we do that is we listen for that inner direction. We listen for God's words. We listen for God to direct us. And you know, you each one have God within you, just as this room is filled with the energy of God. And do you feel the energy here? Yes. So that's an important piece. That energy that we feel here, we want to keep this or something more, right? Yes. Yes. We want to love as much as we love today or more, right? Yeah. So energy is such a interesting thing, and we have a piece to play in that. If you ever walked in a room and just felt like you wanted to leave because the energy was bad? Yeah. Yeah. And you walk in here and you want to stay and you just kind of want to move in because it's oh so yummy. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important that we keep our vibration in that realm of positive. So a story. There was a man's daughter who asked the local minister to come and talk to her dad because she thought he was about to die, and she wanted him to have the opportunity to talk to the minister and say anything that he needed to say to pass it on. And so the minister came, and he walked in the room, and there was a chair right beside the bed, and he went, oh, so you were expecting me. The man said, no, I wasn't expecting you. And he said, oh, well, you have this chair here. I thought you were expecting me. And he went, no, but I'll tell you about that chair. And so he began to tell the man how he did not know how to pray, that he had gone to church and he had listened in church and he heard all the words about praying and he didn't know how to pray. And it frustrated him, and he continued to go through life trying to figure out how to pray. And one day he ran into a man down at the fishing hole, Synergy, just ran into him. He started talking to the man. He said, I don't know how to pray. And the man said, oh, okay. Well, get yourself a chair, put it in front of you, and sit down and talk to Jesus. Just talk to him. And the man said, well, I thought it couldn't hurt. I've done everything else, and it hasn't worked. So he did that. And he said it felt so good, he quit doing it just in the morning. He started doing it morning and night. He said, I did it anytime my daughter wasn't around. I didn't want to do it when she was around because I didn't want her to think I was crazy talking to an empty chair. You can imagine. So he was praying and getting this wonderful energy and this wonderful vibration as a result of running into the right person and saying to that person that he wasn't able to pray. And a little bit later, 2 days later, the daughter called and said, my father has passed. And he said, well, I'm real sorry to hear that. Was he at peace? And she said, absolutely. But there was kind of an odd thing. There was a really, maybe even weird thing. Because before he died, he put his head over into the chair that was next to the bed. Yeah. Beautiful, huh? Beautiful, sweet prayer. I mean, story about prayer. So we have these different ways to pray, and we have these different stories about prayer. And let me tell you, there is no wrong way to pray. If anybody ever tells you that's wrong, you know, we, especially in Unity, we say, oh, don't do beseeching prayers. Well, you know, there's just some times that you get there. You don't mean to, but all of a sudden you find yourself, oh, God, please. And it's not a time to beat yourself up. I just want you to know, because obviously you're feeling some desperation. In Unity, we teach about scientific prayer, and we teach about positive prayer, and we teach about affirming prayer, and we have found that it's amazing and that it works. We found that it works. And so we want to use that. We want to remember to say thank you every time, but I don't want you to think that you can do it wrong. Just be known. So, according to Fillmore, prayer is a conscious awareness of a connection. It's usually open-ended. It allows the highest possibility. We align ourselves with the universal principles. We hold the high watch for others. And we're heartfelt and sincere in our gratitude. So that's what we're about when we're praying, ideally. When we are about doing practical, positive prayer. And when we're praising for others, we usually have the opportunity to do that, right? It's when we're praying for ourselves we get into that beseeching, oh, please. That's my experience anyway. I don't know, maybe it's different for you. So we're holding for others, and we can find that place and space to be grateful and thankful and look at things in a positive way rather than a negative way. If somebody is sick, the last thing you want to do is go, oh, poor them. What you want to do is deny the energy of that apparent disease and hold the truth that God is life, and the force of God's life is moving through this person. It's not denying that they have, say, a disease, but it is not giving it energy. So we're back to that place of energy. Where do you want to put your energy? Do you want to put your energy in the negative, or do you want to put your energy in the positive? Do you want to hold the possibility? Do you want to hold a high watch for someone else? Do you want to hold a high watch for this church as you go about your transition? Do you want to give thanks for every person that comes in here to do work, every person who comes to speak, whether you like them or not? You know, there'll probably be somebody you go, oh, God, we don't hire them. And that's okay. You don't have to like us all. Affirmative prayer is just to become still, to breathe, to go to your heart, to deny the belief in the condition, and to align yourself in the realization of answered prayer. So you become aware of what it would feel like to have complete and absolute answered prayer. Again, it's about energy, vibration, how you feel. Now, I think that's pretty hard to do sometimes. I'll just say it, I do. But I do the very best I can do. And if there's some part of me that has a difficult time with holding a belief, I say, just as we were taught, and please take away my unbelief. Please help me with that unbelief. Please let me know that there is good even in this situation. And oftentimes we do learn that those situations that we think are so bad aren't so bad with hindsight, right? Yeah. So sometimes we're very glad that we don't have what we wanted. Larry Dossey, who is a doctor up in the Dallas area, has done double-blind tests on praying and healing through prayer. And so they have people come and pray for people who have a situation and watch and see what happens. And then others they don't pray for and they see what happens. There's a marked increase in healing in those who have the prayer, in those that are receiving prayer. Now, I just want to know how somebody could not pray for somebody if they knew they were ill, right? You know that our every thought is a prayer. So we have to be really careful with our thoughts. We have to become aware of them and make sure that we're in a place that we want to be. Because if we're walking around all day going, oh, woe is me, and this world is awful, then we're missing the point. And if you watch the news or read the paper and go, oh, the world's going to hell, I don't know, we probably won't have a world in a few days. I invite you to take that time and use it as a call to prayer. If you are watching the news and you're feeling disheartened, recognize that it is a call to prayer. It is a call for you to hold the high watch, to believe in, to affirm that we can have a change, that we can have something better. Do you realize what this world would be like if we all started doing that? Can you imagine the vibration, the high energy that we would be bringing? So it's okay if it's just a few of us doing it, because that too is going to bring a change. So it's important that we hold that high watch, even when it's hard, even when you want to sometimes scream. I have people that like to call me and tell me things just right out, my son being the one special. And I'm just like, what do you want me to say? Because he really wants to engage in negativity. And I just don't want to play. You know, it's like, I keep telling him, I'm too old to go down that drama road anymore with you. Just not interested. And he keeps trying. But we don't have to get into the drama of the situation anymore. So we can become still. And we can begin to look for the good. And we can begin to hold to the fact that healing happens. We can free our minds from anxious thoughts before we send blessings to people. We can free our minds of anxiety, and we can begin to forgive in those areas that we need to forgive. It's an important piece in this prayer work. It's an important piece in life to forgive. And what I know about forgiveness is sometimes we have to do it a lot. You know, Jesus said 70 times 7. What that means is do it until it's done. Just do it until it's done. If you can talk about the situation and it be flat, great. It's done. However, you know, 3 years down the road, it might come up again. And that's okay. You just pray again. You pray again because you bring, as you do that, you're bringing energy of healing to yourself and to the other person. It's about the synergy. It's about making a change in the world. It's about making a difference. And that's what you're about. You're about making a difference. Charles Fillmore talked about all the different ways that we could pray, and he had a number of ways that he thought we should do that work. And he said that we should first recognize Father, Creator, that we should acknowledge our oneness with God, that we should pray within that secret place of the Most High. That we should go within and close the door and pray in the silence. Now, what do you think that is? It's that place where we let go of distraction, let go of judgment, to be one with that spirit of love, the spirit that feeds us love. You know, that's what Jesus taught, is to love. And sometimes we say that's hard, but in truth, love is such a calming energy that's easy to access when we set our mind to it. Love is easy to access when we say that's what we want and we allow ourselves the opportunity to do it. Greg Braden says that feeling the miracle has already happened in our prayers lets us know that the prayer has been answered and that we are then to pray prayers of gratitude. Now, he's traveled the world and worked with many indigenous people. And I found this fascinating, and yet, of course. So he asked the people, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he said, without fail, the indigenous people put their hands on their heart and they say, "I am here. I am here." We get a little distracted and we think it's out here and all the wonderful material things we have, right? I am here. I used to try to figure out where I wanted to live, and every time I went to a city, I'd go, "Is this it? Is this it? Is this it?" And one time I was doing some writing with my non-dominant hand and asked if this was the place I was to live, and what came out of my non-dominant hand was I was to live in my heart every day. I was like, "Oh, you mean it's not about a physical place? I don't have to go to the magic place? I don't have to find that?" No, I just need to live in my heart all the time. So in praying for others and working with this synergy, we get to remember that God's in charge. So we pray, we put our intention out there, we give thanks, and we let go. And we let go of the results. So you may get an idea of what it's to look like here as you go about your search for a new minister. You may decide exactly how it should be. And somebody comes along with a different idea. And you may have to let go of your plan. You may have to let go of the results of how it's done. And that's okay. That's okay. So what do you pray for? Who do you pray for? How do you pray? Well, in Luke, Jesus prayed, and he prayed a lot. He prayed for other people. He prayed for healing. He prayed for the opportunity to be relieved of his suffering. He prayed everywhere he went, and he prayed. One time he had to go off by himself into the desert and pray quietly by himself. We pray, and we pray for strength if we need strength, and we pray for love if we need love, and we pray for understanding if we need understanding. Because you see, in praying for others, we pray for ourselves as well. We cannot pray for others without it falling on us as well. You ever notice that? You're praying for somebody and suddenly you go, "Oh, I think that's about me." Yeah, I do a lot of counseling and I'm like, I'm doing a prayer and I'm going, "Oh, who am I praying for here?" When we pray, it's like going out in the rain. Everybody's going to get wet. Everybody's going to get wet out there. So you've come together to pray and to participate in God's work. You're here to participate in God's work. Y'all might have heard of Emoto, who was a scientist, or is a scientist, in Japan. And he had a lab where he worked with water. And with this water, he gave positive messages to the water. And then he froze it. And then he studied it. And what he found was just beautiful crystals. There were days also that he would go in and he would say negative things to the water. And he would freeze it. And the crystals would be jagged and asymmetrical and just not very pretty. And we know that with our plants, we can say wonderful, loving things to our plants, and they flourish. And we can say not so nice things to them, and they'll begin to wither. It's an energy, a synergy, and that's what we're about. So you may come in here and say, it doesn't matter how I feel today, but let me tell you, your energy counts. Your energy makes a difference. You make a difference. You're a very vital part of this church, and you make a difference. So we're not about changing things externally. Well, we may be about it. But we can't change anything externally unless we change something internally. We have to make that change. We have to be willing to receive. We have to feel worthy of receiving. Anybody ever say a prayer and then go, well, I'm not worthy of that? This is what I want, God, but I know I'm not worthy. You're not going to give it to me. Wrong. Wrong. You are worthy. You're very worthy, each and every one of you. So James Dillard Friedman, y'all know who he is? Port Laureate for Unity, passed away a few years ago. I'm going to tell you a little bit about his story. In 1947, he heard the words that inspired him, and he wrote the poem, I Am There. Now, this happened when his wife, Catherine, was in the hospital, and the doctor came out and he said, your wife is not going to live. She's only got a couple of months. And he was devastated because he loved her so much. And he beseeched God to let her live. He prayed and prayed and prayed. Please, God, let Catherine live. And he said he heard the words, not inside his head, but outside. I am here. He heard it so strongly. So he wrote the poem. Began to use the poem. It's just such a beautiful poem. I am, is it here or there? Anyway, he wrote this poem knowing that his wife was in the process of her transition. And the doctor gave her 2 to 3 months, and she did live 10 months. So I do think that there was some magic in that prayer and in that belief that God is here with us this moment. His prayer ended up going to the moon and is up in the moon so that people can find it someday when we get back up there and start looking around. So the original verse is, I am there. And the question is, do you need me? I am there. I am there. And each stanza of the original poem was about Catherine's diagnosis. And he was talking to God about that and having physical hearing of answering. So we are here to do our work. And life lesson, pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. God bless you and namaste. And now we will continue on with our meditation. Our meditation today is from Earth Day, and it's Mark Nepo. I know all of you know him and love him. I know he's one of Jill's favorites. So in this moment, I invite you to breathe, to take it down into the very depth of your lungs. Take that air down there. Expel out the air that's been sitting there stale, waiting to be released. Breathe. O endless creator, force of life, seat of the unconscious, Dharma, Atman, Ray, dear center of our love, Christ-light, Yahweh, Allah, Maya, Mother of the Universe. Let us, when swimming with the stream, become the stream. Let us, when moving with the music, become the music. Let us, when rocking the wounded, become the suffering. Let us live deeply enough till there is only one direction, and slow enough till there is only the beginning of time. And let it be loud enough in our hearts till there is no need to speak. Let us live for the grace beneath all we want. Let us see it in everything and everyone. Let us see it in everything and everyone until we admit to the mystery that when I look deep enough into you, I find me. And when you dare to hear my fear in the recesses of your heart, you recognize it as your secret, which you thought no one else knew. Oh, let us embrace that unexpected moment of unity as the atom of God. Let us have the courage to hold each other when we break and worship that unfolds. Oh, nameless spirit that is not done with us, let us love without a net, beyond the fear of death, until the spark of peace we guard so well becomes the world. Until the spark of peace we guard so well becomes the world. And with those words, I invite you to go into the silence and be. in the beingness of the world, in the beingness of earth, we rest. In the beingness, we see the truth that sets us free. We feel the synergy of this community coming together. Bringing all their precious pieces together to create a beautiful whole. We are one in spirit. We are filled with health and wholeness. We remember the truth, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. We see it in everyone we meet. We hold that Christ presence. Outer circumstances may lead us to feel differently, but we know the truth. We allow our hearts to open even wider, to love even greater, to be even more. Filled with harmony, filled with peace, filled with joy and love, we allow ourselves to return this time, this place, aware of those that are in the room. Just let yourself gently come back with open hearts and open minds. And so it is. And so we let it be.